you again.
All right. Again, for the record, I'm Jerry Nelson, the Deer and Elk Section Manager for the department. Agenda item 9, we're dealing with the deer general seasons, the deer special permit seasons, and the elk special permit seasons. We'll start off with deer general seasons. When I briefed the commission in March, I showed you some graphs on harvest and participation. As that discussion progressed, folks were interested in seeing license sales. So I'm providing that here. It's in your packet, so I won't belabor it. Two points that I want to point out. As we were pulling this information together, we were also thinking about some economic factors. I'm not an economist, but if you look up this information online, the experts say that the Great Recession started about December of 2007. And then if you look at gas prices and fuel prices, they really peaked and were at kind of all-time highs in a period from about 2010 to 2014. That's all correlation. I don't have any cause and effect on any of that, but something to keep in mind as you're looking at those graphs. For the deer general season WAC, it is a third year of a three-year package, so typically we're not making any major proposals when it comes to general seasons. As I briefed you in March, we are proposing to restore the late archery opportunity in GMUs 204 and 209 back to the way it was in 2015. And then we also have language in there, exception language for GMU 382 that accommodates the new deer area that you just created in the last agenda item. For whitetail deer in Northeast, we're proposing modifying the youth, senior, and disabled modern season. That season, as it stands now, allows for antlerless opportunity. We're proposing to change that to just youth and hunters with disabilities. The other part of that proposal is to change it from a four-day season that goes Thursday through Sunday to a four-day season that is two weekends, so two consecutive Saturday-Sunday hunts. So still 4 days, but occurring on the weekends. We're also proposing that we change the late archery season from an any buck, I mean from an any deer, change that to an any buck. So throttling back on that antlerless opportunity. And as the commission knows, we're trying to address the diverse values from a variety of different stakeholders that are interested in these hunting seasons. Our direction and rationale for the general seasons are to, as always, retain a general season hunting opportunity that's a very high value for Washington hunters. We take a conservative approach when we think it's necessary, and we want to offer these hunting opportunities without negatively impacting the deer populations. As I've mentioned before at the March meeting, we're coming up on the next three-year package cycle, and so as soon as we're done with all of this work, we're starting to make the first steps for all of our process for the 2018 to 2020 seasons. And so that will include gathering information from the public, having public meetings throughout the state this summer, that sort of stuff.
Do you have a question?
There was a slight change in the whitetail deer season between what you presented to us and now. Do you want to highlight that and comment on it, please?
Yes. The changes that you're referencing are the changes on this slide. Mm-hmm. And so changing the late archery season, removing the antlerless opportunity there, and then also modifying the youth, senior, disabled season to reduce the antlerless opportunity, but at the same time, we're trying to accommodate the youth hunters. It's a value for a lot of folks because most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the youth hunters are typically not able to get out other than the weekends, and so we're trying to do that balancing act.
And in addition, we heard testimony this morning about the low, which you had highlighted in your previous presentation, the low fawn to doe ratio that was seen last year. So kind of responding to those concerns as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mostly response to the winter conditions that we talked a lot about the severe winter conditions at March. I should have mentioned that. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. And you may want to defer this to Steve because I called him here a couple, 3 weeks ago about a concern I had. And I was just wondering, how did it all shake out, Steve?
So Jerry will get to permit seasons. Those were permit adjustments.
Okay, so that's at a later date. Okay.
If I know where Jerry's going to go.
Yeah.
Okay, so deer special permits. We're proposing, again, as a response to the severe winter last year, we're, and these were adjustments that you didn't have at the March briefing, we're proposing some antlerless special permits be adjusted down for mule deer in Okanagan and Chelan. The quality special permits are always adjusted up or down depending on the formula, participation, success rates, that sort of a thing. Our rationale for special permit hunting seasons are the same as the general seasons, but it also gives us more of an opportunity to adjust the antlerless opportunity up or down. Now, the item that Commissioner Holtzmiller brings up and Steve brings up, it was my understanding that we had kind of talked our way through that with Kevin, the regional manager, and we weren't going to do any more adjusting there.
Well, Steve to help.
For whatever it's worth, they're a lot happier about it than I am, so.
So I think that so where we left this commissioner was that did want to make sure that we had followed up in a focused conversation with the district biologist, which we did. In turn, Kevin Robinette, Region Wildlife Program Manager, touched base with Jerry. Collectively, we had the discussion, and then when Kevin was able to follow up with you, my understanding of that conversation, and you would know it better than I, was that we would keep the current proposals in place, but that it was clear that there was going to be a commission conversation and that you would raise your concern more along the lines of the messaging around those permits and the concern for both blue tongue impact and winter severity. And to allow a conversation with the commission. So
just so we can share with the rest of the commission what it is. There's been antler restrictions in our part of the world for 23 years. Is that correct? I think that's what Kevin told me.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the way we hunt. It's 3-point minimum. And, that's just the way it works. Well, now, on a youth season, they've decided that they're going to make it any buck. And, I'll be the first to say that no more deer than they're talking about, it isn't going to have any effect upon the deer herd whatsoever. So that's a moot point. The only thing of it is I guess this gets down to just personal how you look at things, is in our deer herds, the population's growing, habitats going away, predators are on the increase, and one thing to me, especially with the youth, is what we have to, the message that we want to send to them is conservation is part of this whole big ball game. I take a lot of kids out, first year hunters. To me, the 3-point almost enhances the hunt because you take those little guys out, or girls, the little ones out. You spot a deer, it's a buck, but you get the spot and scope, or you get the field glasses, make certain he's legal. It's just a whole, you slow the whole process down, make them, and then it just seems like you get a better shot in on the deer. If it's a 2-point, you just tell them, hey, that's part of the game. Conservation is, we'll hunt that deer next year. To me, it can make be a real positive voice and direction for the young kids, is to learn that that's part of the deal. We're not just going to shoot anything that moves. And, yeah, I'll be the first to say, as far as the impact you're going to have on the deer, nah, it's minimal. It's going to make jack squat. But I still think that the conservation message to the youth is huge. And I just leave it at that. I think that's an awful thing that we need to remember, because there's just more and more pressures with everything bearing down on our game herds, so we just need to instill that in our kids right from the get-go.
So if I could help a little bit on clarification here, if you look at page 21 in your notebook, and it's under the youth seasons, the hunts that Commissioner Holtzmiller are referencing are four new hunts in southeast Washington, and the legal animal is any deer, and it's the Mayview, Prescott, Peola, and Kaus. And I believe those are the hunts that we're discussing right now.
Yeah.
And the previous rule was the point restriction. Is that correct?
No. These are new youth hunts, newly created.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But previously, Kim, any season in ours, it might be an antlerless, but any buck had to be a 3-point minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But now we're calling out youth specifically with any deer.
Right, and they are special permit hunts. They're not general season hunts.
Just trying to understand. May I just make a comment? Commissioner Holtzmiller, I really appreciate your comments, as well as an opportunity that I had to meet with members of the Northeast Washington Wildlife Advisory Committee discussing these issues, and just want to add that one of the struggles, I don't know, one of the things that I'm constantly thinking about as we look at hunting rules is balancing the conservation, the education about conservation. I so agree with you, Commissioner, versus opportunity, because, you know, I really am anxious to see hunting as outdoor sports sustained, you know, into the future, and it's the youth who will do it. So, you know, how to balance that opportunity versus the conservation is something I think about constantly. I appreciate the conversations that I've had recently. It helps me to think about it. You've just added more to think about, Jay. I don't know where I fall on this specifically in terms of your comments, but certainly we'll be thinking about it as we go into the 3-year packet.
Well, and trust me, this is coming from a person, you've heard of A personalities. I'm A plus. So, I mean, when we go hunting, I want to get something. I mean, that is the idea of it. But there again, at the end of the day, you're not going hunting because you're hungry. You're out there because of the experience, and I'm just, yeah, you want them to be successful, but you want them to be successful the right way. And I do. It is. I take a lot of first-year hunters out, and to me, it just adds to it, is just to get it programmed into them right from the get-go that we need to do it right. And to let one go away is actually a win, you know, because, okay, that sucker's going to be nice next year. We're gonna, you know, so.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, moving on to elk, the elk special permits. Same graph provided here for elk license sales. Pretty stable when it comes to elk license sales, averaging around 100,000. If there are any economic influences here, they don't seem to be as strong on elk licenses, but I'll let you draw your own conclusions on that. We talked a lot about the winter conditions at the March meeting for elk as well. We were also in a situation where we were still getting real-time survey data coming in. Not all of it was in, but I did warn you that I'd be coming to this meeting with reductions on antlerless special permit opportunities. So you have those reductions in front of you now. The Yakima herd, it came in below objective, not a lot below, but a little bit below objective. And we're proposing some substantial reductions in antlerless special permit opportunity for that herd. The Clockham herd is at objective. It's sort of at the lower end of that range, but it is at objective. We are still proposing some additional reductions for that herd as well. The Mount St. Helens herd, we don't survey the entire herd area. That's virtually impossible. But the core areas that we do survey every year, those numbers are down, and we're reducing, proposing reduction in some of those antlerless special permits as well. Blue Mountains herd is at objective. We are proposing some slight reductions in the antlerless opportunity there as well. And the same as the deer, the quality and bull permits that go through the allocation formula that's sanctioned by the commission, those adjust up and down based on the harvest target, the success rates, and the participation. And our direction and rationale for these hunts are very similar. We do have the opportunity with special permits to do more tweaking, especially when it comes to antlerless opportunity. We're trying to retain season structures that provide the opportunity but don't have a negative impact to the populations. And with that, I'll answer any questions on elk special permits.
Was there one more?
No, sir.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Any questions on that? No.
Yes. I move to amend WAX 232-28-357, 232-28-359, and 232-28-360 as proposed.
Motion's been made. We have a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Jer. That brings us to
Bradley.
Yes.
Second. My fellow commissioner just pointed something out here that something isn't right with this picture, because he was looking to turn in for a permit in my part of the world. We got to looking at the schedule, and the commission meeting is on opening day of elk season in our part of the world.
In my part of the world.
In October. Yeah, okay. Enough said.
Or my part of the world.
Yeah, that was good.
All right.
Okay.